thanks for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio. We are on week 4 of Exodus. Last time we kind of exited really fast because our time gave out. But we just want to once again thank Taylor and Hannah for joining us. We just love you girls.
Thank you. Good luck
on your next journey.
Thank you. So real quick, just share where you're going, Hannah, and what you're going to be doing.
I am going to do both my student teaching and work at the same time. It's kind of my dream job this fall at a school in the middle of Nebraska. I'm going to be teaching kindergartners and ELL students in the afternoons.
Yeah, and I'm getting my associate's at Grace, but I will be getting my bachelor's at Peru State, and I get to have my senior volleyball season there this coming fall.
It's exciting. So exciting. So proud of both of you.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not going to cry.
Yeah.
So Tay is going to be the one to read for us today. And so right before she said, what did you say how you're going to prepare for your reading?
I'm going to do mouth worms or something. I was like, last time I read, it was... I felt like I was just stumbling over words because, you know, I got very little sleep. It's finals week.
Yeah, and they're still here. So it's our last time with them. We love them. And so if you're listening, please say a prayer for Hannah and Taylor. Mm-hmm. That the Lord bless them in the next leg.
Yep.
Amen. Okay. Let's read before I totally start crying.
Okay. We are in chapter 12 of Exodus, starting in verse 27. Then tell them, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was a loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites, go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go, and also bless me. The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave themselves what they asked, gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, as well as large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. With the dough they had brought from Egypt, they baked cakes of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare the food for themselves. Now the length of the time the Israelites' people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt, because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, these are the regulations for the Passover. No foreigner is to eat of it. Any slave you have brought may eat of it after you have circumcised him, but a temporary resident and a hired worker may not eat of it. It must be eaten inside one house. Take none of the meat outside the house. Do not break any of the bones. The whole community of Israel must celebrate. An alien living among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised. Then he may take part like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat of it. The same law applies to the native born and to the alien living among you. All the Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. Mm.
May God honor the reading of his word. So good. All right, I'm sitting here laughing. I don't know how I didn't catch this before, but my scripture was this. The Life Application Bible, NLT, refers to the foreigners that go with them as a rabble. Mm-hmm. A rabble of non-Israelites. Like, what does a rabble mean? I just caught that. I was like, that's funny. I don't know why I hadn't seen it before. So we had been talking about Pharaoh and how he was stubborn and proud and wealthy and had everything, yet this one little godly man who was willing to worship and obey God and get a people to worship and obey God was so frustrated by this man. And that just, it cracks me up, you know, how the influence that we can have in leading a people for someone who is out of the will of God, that it will frustrate them. And they will get angry. The thing with frustration is the more frustration increases in somebody, it will turn to anger. And frustration, when it is being watched in somebody, it will always be perceived that that person's angry. And so that's why whenever we recognize frustration inside us, we need to ask why. Because frustration not dealt with can actually lead to anger that will lead to sin. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lesson we need to take from Pharaoh. And we didn't get to that point because we ran out of time. And I just wanted to make sure that we think on that. And then ask ourselves why I'm frustrated. And make sure that we are the ones that are in the will of God. It's okay if the frustration is because we can't get people. Because, you know, Moses, he was frustrated. They both were. And so we have to make sure we ask, why am I? And make sure it's because I'm in the pursuit of the will of God to worship and obey his commands. And so I want us to do that. Now, so let's shift. And I want you guys to describe for me Moses. What is it that you learn about Moses from this passage? What are some truths that we could take from Moses' character and apply to our life? It's radio. Can't be quiet. Time to wake up.
Well, you see him, like, he's with Aaron immediately in the passage. And you kind of see them side by side throughout this entire process. So he leans on him quite a bit and is dependent on him as, like, not only partial spokesman, but also, I think, kind of support going against Pharaoh.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think it's important. We always should have somebody with us. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus sends the disciples out two by two. And in ministry, there's just something amazing about having a partnership, a team working with them. And there's nothing worse than when that's not there and you don't have that side by side. It's the worst. So okay, true. What else?
Well, we know he's obedient.
Yes.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What else do you see?
When he acts with Pharaoh, it doesn't really show in the Bible of him getting mad at him and yelling at him. Mm-hmm. He might be frustrated inside, but he doesn't show hate towards Pharaoh to him.
That's good.
It seems like he still, you know, cares for him in some ways. Even the Bible doesn't specifically say that.
Yeah. At least it's neutral enough. He's doing what God wants that there's no reference. So historically, it would have been referenced if it was something that we should note. Mm-hmm. But because there was nothing worth noting, it's not there. So that's important. Yeah. Hard to do. I can't tell you how often I have to pray, Lord, don't let my face show what's inside me, or don't let my body language show the sinfulness of my heart, you know, until I've had time to process. Yeah. Okay.
I know what you're saying.
Okay. What else? What else do you learn about him?
That God allows his words to be heard, I think, because that's a lot of people to communicate this message to, and it's the whole of Egypt listening, and they knew exactly down to, like, what measure of what they're supposed to eat and what they're supposed to do. And so just the details. That all of those details were communicated to that many people. I mean, that was definitely God working in Moses, but he allowed himself to speak to the people in that way.
Mm. Yeah, he listened to God, you know, to what God wanted him to do. Just like when he went up on the mountain, you know, he knew exactly what God wanted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's good at listening.
He is, you know, and that's important.
That's good. Can you think of anything else?
And he must have had a heart for his own people, too, because to be going back to Pharaoh after Pharaoh's own, you know, firstborn son is dead, and just that kind of raw emotion to go against that angry person. And I think that takes a lot of bravery, but I think it's also a love for his people, that he knows what God has said, but he also loves them and wants them to go lead, like, go with him too.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Anything else you guys caught? No?
Mm-mm.
No, I'll keep asking.
Sorry, there's a lot.
I will keep asking until literally. You're
looking for something?
No. I have just learned that when it comes to asking questions about what you can learn about God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, that if I keep asking, it's amazing.
It comes to
it
you.
It keeps coming.
You have to process. You have to think.
And so it keeps coming. And so when I've learned to just keep asking, is there anything else? Is there anything else? Because I find I dig more and more, and the more I dig, the more I'll get.
Mm-hmm.
The things that I focused in on when I was doing this is Moses was a very persistent man.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it required a tremendous amount of stamina. And, I don't know, just persistence, like the ability to persevere. And the circumstances were not good. The people were not kind. I can guarantee you the nation of Israel was not kind to Moses as he was leading.
Yeah.
They weren't out there saying, go Moses, go Moses, go Moses. They did not make it easy for him as the leader. And he knew what God had called him to do, and he persisted both against Egypt and Israel.
And I think that shows his great belief in God, you know, that God tells you to do it, you should do it.
Right. Recently, I was sitting in a meeting with Dr. Mike Schmidt. He is the IS chair at Grace University. I went home and I told Greg, I said, what he said was so profound. And he said, a true leader will absorb whatever is bouncing around them.
Mm.
A true leader is not going to bounce it off and bounce it to other people. He said, a true leader will receive whatever it is, the negativity, the hatred, the stuff, and will absorb it so it doesn't continue bouncing out. And when I think on Moses, I see a leader that was absorbing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one of the people in my class at church ask, why do they always portray the elders as gray? And I couldn't help but laugh. And I go, because they're earning that gray hair. And I think it's just because with leadership, you know, that's something that starts happening as your body starts to show. It's why presidents will go in, and presidential first wives will go in, and their look 4 years later will be totally different because of what they have absorbed as a leader. And so there's things to be said about absorbing. And so just the challenge that we should be a people that absorbs and doesn't bounce. Mm-hmm. And Moses we don't see Moses going and taking the anger and the hatred of Pharaoh to his people. We see what Hannah said, and we see love. We see him giving back what he knows God would want him to give, even though he may not really have wanted to be going, and doing what he's doing. He was obedient and doing what God had asked him to do. So the persistence. The second thing I saw was that you could use the word faithfulness to describe him. Because it's one thing to be persistent. We can be persistent with the wrong motives, but to be persistent walking by faith. And so it's not by sight. He doesn't know the solution or the answer or the outcome, but he is faithful in doing what God has given him. So persistent in having the stamina to stay the course when it's hard, but then the faithfulness to continue with what God has called him and doing. God wants our people to go so we can worship. We need to go worship our one true God. Well, no, you can take a part. No, it has to be all of our people. No, you can't. No, it has to be like he remained faithful to what he didn't compromise. He didn't take the compromise. He stayed faithful to what God said specifically must take place. Mm-hmm. I also agreed in the put down obedience. And then I wrote down, you guys, he had to face so many fears. Mm-hmm. There is no reason why Pharaoh could not have struck him dead. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Off with his head. I am so done with you. And it is only by God's grace he didn't, because God had a thing he wanted Moses to do. What is the word? I can't even think. What's the word, y'all? Mm-hmm. And so he had a plan, and he had chosen Moses, and he had to fulfill it. And so God protected him. And so knowing that that's there. And so remember how I started off one of them saying, it said in the passage, it says that God kept vigil upon mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. If God has given us a task and has called us to do it, he will keep a vigil upon us. And so when it gets hard, when we have the Egyptians, those that represent the Egyptians in our life, fighting us, and we have those that represent the ones we're trying to serve, all of them against us, we have to know that God's keeping vigil and that he's not going to leave, he's not going to forsake. And he stayed the course in face of many fears, many trials, many circumstances that were beyond his ability to understand and comprehend. This was not easy. It was a massive group of people, and he stayed the course. And so I'd like to encourage us to think through what that could look like for us where we're leading. We only have about a minute and a half left. And so right now, from today's Bible passage, what can you take with you in the next leg of your journey?
I think, you know, when you were just speaking there, that we get so discouraged sometimes when we're serving. Mm. You know, and that is so good to keep in mind that, you know, if God puts you there, he's going to take care of everything. Don't right. be discouraged.
He keeps vigil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That since I am a leader on campus, I'm sure God will use me in different leadership roles. Mm-hmm. And I think what you talked about, Dr. Schmidt said, I never thought about that way. And it's true. And thinking that way is like, okay, as I'm absorbing this, what's going to be coming from that? Mm-hmm. And that's really important. Mm-hmm. Wherever I go and whatever yeah. leadership I have.
Right, right.
All your life.
Mm. And in my life, I mean, I'm making lots of different choices with graduation and everything and getting a job. And I really liked how just the beginning, like before you even go to obey, it's just so important to worship mm-hmm. because you're mm-hmm. going to obey and you're glad to obey. Mm-hmm. And I forget that a lot, and I want to stop and take that choice to bow down and worship God for mm-hmm. who he is and mm-hmm. what he's done.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. All the above. And so be it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen. Mm-hmm.